I will continue the second part of Srinivas Acharya's life and disappearance. If you remember, after a long journey, young Srinivas, finally came to the outskirts of Vrindavan, only to hear that Rupa and Sanatana Goswami had disappeared from this world. He fainted, and in that faint they appeared to him and encouraged him to take shelter of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and study under Jiva Goswami. So these words relieved Srinivas somewhat of a heavy heart, and he entered Vrindavan and offered obeisances at Govinda Ji's temple. And as he was there, the news spread of this very extraordinary, beautiful personality, full of divine love. Jiva Goswami knew who this was, and accompanied by many of his followers, he went there and greeted Srinivas Acharya. Then Jiva Goswami took him to his own place of residence, offered him to Radha Damodar. Srinivas was able to see the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami, and he was given a place to stay there. And the next day, Jiva Goswami took him to meet Gopal Bhatta Prabhu and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and received the blessings of Radha Ramana. In time, Gopal Bhatta Goswami initiated Srinivas Acharya and gave him instruction. However, he handed him back to Jiva Goswami for further education according to Lord Chaitanya's desire. It seems that Narottam Das Thakur had already been in Vrindavan for a year by this time, and was studying under Jiva Goswami, but of course he was initiated by Loknath Goswami. And then Dukhi Krishna Das, who was later known as Shyamananda, he also arrived, and these three became very steadfast friends and the foremost disciples of Jiva Goswami. The Bhakti Ratnakar describes how Jiva Goswami asked Raghava Pandit to take these three young men to see the forests of Vrindavan and all the holy places where Krishna's pastimes had taken place all throughout Brajamandala. One day a message arrived from Janava Devi, who had already visited Vrindavan earlier and was well aware of the vast treasure house of books that was had been compiled by the Goswamis, and she told Jiva Goswami that these books should be sent for Bengal for distribution, which distribution meant really for copying and then distribution. And Jiva Goswami then called these three devotees and Shyamananda and Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas, and he gave them the order that they would now have to transport these books across the country. Jiva Goswami recognized Narottam Das Thakur, and he gave him the title Mahashaya, and Srinivas Acharya. Srinivas became known as Srinivas Acharya, that was his title, Acharya, and Dukhi Krishna Das, because he gave so much pleasure, Ananda, to Shama, Srimati Radharani, then he was renamed Shyamananda. Actually, these devotees didn't want to leave Vrindavan, they wanted to stay there, but they recognized how important this mission was, so they went to their gurus, they received blessings and enthusiasm to do the needful. Meanwhile, Jiva Goswami was preparing for the long journey. He asked one disciple to provide a large cart and bullocks, and there were even 10 armed guards to protect the manuscripts, which were then placed into a large wooden chest. And then there was even a special passport from the king of Jaipur that would see the entire convoy through the different tolls that were set up throughout India. Jiva Goswami and some other devotees accompanied these caravan until Agra, and then at that point they stopped and returned to Vrindavan. Now comes the part about the stealing of the books, which I think many devotees have heard, so I will just pass over those in brief. Mainly in a Bengali village called Gopalpur, which is within the kingdom of Vishnupur. The convoy once stopped and rested for the night. And the king, Bir Hambir, he was a real dacoit. And he had one astrologer who had told him that there was some unprecedented treasure being carried by this convoy. So he sent an army of 200 dacoits who waited up until nighttime. And then they stole the books when the three friends woke up in the morning. You can imagine how shocked they were to see that this lifetime work of the Goswamis and their own life, meaning their own mission, had all of a sudden disappeared. So after consultation, Shyamananda and Narottam were told by Srinivas to continue on to Bengal and Orissa, and he took responsibility for retrieving the manuscripts. So writing to Jiva Goswami and informing the residents of Vrindavan what had happened, then Jiva Goswami set out to find the stolen goods. In the meantime, Bir Hambir had opened the chest, and he didn't see any gold, he didn't see any rubies and diamonds. What he saw was books. And when he examined the first book on the top, he saw the signature Rupa Goswami written on a palm leaf. And realizing that he'd really done something bad, he put the book back into the chest, sealed the chest again, and took rest. Srinivasacharya made his way to Vishnupur, and after some time he entered the court of the king. He had heard that there was a Bhagavatam recitation which took place there every morning, and he was curious to hear what the nature of that recitation was. Bir Hambir had a guru, court guru, court pandit, whose name was Vyasacharya, and he was commenting upon the Bhagavatam. Srinivas was really unimpressed because his commentary was all full of Mayavad misconceptions. But after 2 weeks, he really couldn't contain himself, and he spoke out and said, sir, you don't follow the text, nor are your commentaries in line with Sridhar Swami or other commentators of Bhagavatam. Vyasacharya sort of paid polite attention to what was being said, but ignored him. And the same day, Srinivas again stood up. So finally, the king invited Srinivas to speak, give his own explanation of Bhagavatam. And when he did, then the king, as well as all of the persons present in court, as well as the court pandit Vyasacharya, recognized Srinivasacharya's wisdom, realization, pure devotion, and ultimately they surrendered to him. When the king surrendered to Srinivas, because he knew that Srinivas was the person in charge of the books, then obviously he had to confess for his sins. And Srinivas was then taken to the room where the trunks were. And when he he saw the books again, then he was just overwhelmed in ecstasy, and he was so happy. So in this way, Srinivas then initiated the king, his wife, Vyasacharya, so many other personalities. And what's really very interesting is that Birhambir made his entire kingdom a Vaishnav kingdom, which is really sort of quite relevant, because the question comes up, what happened if, what to speak of the world, if a Krishna consciousness movement could take over just a country or a state. And one interesting factor was that Birhambir sent away people who weren't willing to follow the tenets of Krishna consciousness, aside from installing many temples, initiating many Vaishnava practices and rituals, particularly chanting Hare Krishna, reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyway, obviously, Srinivas sent out royal messengers to Vrindavan, Narottam, and Shyamananda to inform them of the good news. And then he returned to Jajigram to visit his mother and Narahari Sarkar, who was in Shikanda. When Srinivas was there, and Shikanda, Narahari gave him the instruction that he should get married, he pointed out that his mother was a great devotee, and Srinivas should fulfill the desire that he not remain a brahmachari, but that he enter into the Grihastha ashram. From this point, Srinivas Acharya really traveled widely, went to, visited in Vrindavan, went to Vishnupur on repeated occasions, made his headquarters in Jajigram, traveled throughout Bengal. And as per the request of his superiors, he married two ladies, and he had two sons who died, and three daughters, all of them who were very, very famous: Hemlata, Krishnapriya, and Kanchana. Not long after Srinivas's marriage, the Narahari Sarkar left this world, and Srinivas arranged a great festival to celebrate that disappearance, and he continued with very, very powerful preaching, as a consequence of which he had many great disciples. Ramachandra Kaviraj, we know his name because he was very dear to Narottam Das Thakur. In fact, he was his closest friend. And Govinda Kaviraj, Bajahu Raimana, Srinanda Nandana, he was the younger brother of Ramachandra. And there were so many other devotees and disciples. On one of the occasions when Srinivas returned to Vrindavan, then there was some discussion that Gopal Bhatta Goswami wanted him to take over the worship of Radharaman. But because of the prominent preaching that Srinivas was doing to prominent personalities, then Gopal Bhatta gave the responsibility to another disciple, Gopinath. And then Srinivas Acharya stayed in Vrindavan for some time, only to continue his preaching. As I mentioned earlier about Vishnupur, that the king had made chanting Hare Krishna not an optional activity, but it was actually compulsory and punishable by law, whereas the sacrifice of animals was certainly discouraged, if not prohibited. While traveling and residing in his camp, main base, Jajipur, Srinivas Acharya followed a strict sadhana, strict regulation. And this is more or less what his daily programs are. He would rise early in the morning and up until 10 o'clock, so you could figure from at least 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning until 10 o'clock, he would read from Shastra and explain these to his disciples. And then from 4 till 10, he would do japa alone in a secluded place, performing his own bhajan, inner meditation. And from 4 to 6 in the evening, he would do Harinam Sankirtan with his disciples. His style of Sankirtan is called Manohar. And then at night time, he would meet individually with disciples or talk to them about Krishna's pastimes. Srinivasacharya didn't write many things. What we know of most well is his Sad Goswami Ashtakam. And there's supposed to be also a commentary that he wrote on the Chatushloki of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just as of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we don't have much information about his disappearance because these things are not really pleasing to the hearts of Vaishnavas. So similarly of Srinivasacharya, we don't have any details of how he disappeared. Therefore, his disappearance remains a mystery. But nonetheless, his life and times are an inspiration to us, and therefore, offering our obeisances to Srinivasacharya, we should pray for him to empower us to follow Srila Prabhupada's desires in terms of preaching and practice, and make us worthy inheritors of the transcendental legacy which he has also left our parampara. Hare Krishna.